Well, thank you so much. It is wonderful to be back with you, dear friends, here at Grace Bible Church. We were here with you in November of 2019 for your missions conference. And how many think the world has changed some since then? Anyone? And so we're glad to be back with you today. We're going to talk about similar themes to what we talked about last time. Of course, I expect that you all not only remember that, but have your notes with you from our last session together. No, just kidding. It is wonderful to be with you. It is a wonderful privilege to represent the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And I'm going to begin with just a short introduction and update about our ministry and the work of the Friends of Israel. Of course, we are Paul and Lynette Scharf. My wife Lynette is in the back. We have a display table that's filled with free literature that we'd love for you to take as much as you can use. We have lots more where it comes from, so please take anything that is of interest to you. We accidentally came today without official sign-up sheets, so we just have a tablet on the back for you to sign up if you'd like to do that, and we'd love for you to do that. But that will give you a subscription to our magazine, which I'll tell you about in just a minute, and do a couple of other things. But before I forget, let me say, please don't let that deter you from signing up on our contact list on the back table, and I'll tell you more as we go. I think everyone here is probably familiar with the Friends of Israel. Does everyone pretty much here know about the Friends of Israel? If you're not, let me remind you that the Friends of Israel is a worldwide ministry. The sun never sets on the work of the Friends of Israel. We're dedicated to proclaiming biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah, and to bringing physical and spiritual comfort to the Jewish people. The physical comfort comes into play, especially at times like have happened recently in Israel with the attacks from Hamas and the very real needs of Israeli people, that the Friends of Israel gets involved, especially at times like that, although really at all times, in trying to bring that physical comfort to Jewish people in Israel and in other places in the world. But that, of course, is not the ultimate end. It's to ultimately be able, through the contacts that are made, to lovingly share in a meaningful way the truth of their own Messiah with the Jewish people as well. And there are people doing that with Jewish people also all around the world. So we do ask for your prayers, and we do ask for you to consider how the Lord would have you to perhaps be involved. Certainly, this was our focus last time we were here, in having that type of ministry to the Jewish people first, as the Apostle Paul tells us. And we'd love to have you be involved in that way in the Friends of Israel. The Friends of Israel has, of course, a website, lots of interesting information, much more about our ministries and our history, and you can always look at that at foi.org. And now here is the magazine that if you sign up on our contact list, you'll get a free subscription to the magazine. If you did that before and it's run out, do it again. We'd love to have you get the magazine and stay getting it, and that will put you also on our contact list. And if you would also provide your email, that will put you on the Friends of Israel's email list for its weekly email. It comes out at the end of the week, just a short email with links. And likewise, Lord willing, this summer, we're going to be launching our own weekly email that you'll get if you sign up and put your email address, giving your permission for us to share with you that you're subscribing to receive those emails. And ours likewise will just be succinct with links to various things. And we hope that you might enjoy staying up with that. This is our flagship resource, the magazine Israel My Glory. Again, you'll get the subscription to that for free. We have numerous issues of that on our table. I invite you to take those. And that has gone around the world since 1942. And so we ask you to be involved in that way, first of all, by reading Israel My Glory. We also have a weekly half-hour radio program, The Friends of Israel Today. And my boss, Chris Katulka, is the speaker on that program. You can hear it here in southern Wisconsin on VCY America, Saturdays at 11:30 or anytime on the website. I'll also share another way for you to hear it in just a moment. Now, the Friends of Israel is known for having various kinds of conferences, Bible conferences and Bible prophecy conferences. And the last year, of course, that has not happened because of restrictions related to the coronavirus. And so the conferences have been all online, and that will continue this summer instead of the National Bible Conference that would normally be held, one of them in Winona Lake, Indiana, sort of the main one. But in place of any of them, it's going to be an online conference again this summer because of COVID restrictions. And the good news is that many more people can participate, and it's all free. And we'd love to have you be involved in that way as well. You can go and you can sign up. You don't have to be present just when the events are being released online. You can watch them sometime afterward as well. So we'd love to have you sign up and participate in that. It's completely free, as I mentioned. And that's a great way, again, for you to become involved with the ministry of the Friends of Israel. Pray for Friends of Israel. We are, as a ministry, beginning to plan live events in person beginning in the fall, finally. So it will have been a year and a half without any of those live events. But during that time, the Lord has really blessed the Friends of Israel's online presence through these kinds of things like you see on the screen, and bringing many more people than can attend necessarily live events in to see things online. That's also been our experience as well. We used our time last year during the shutdowns to launch a page on sermonaudio.com. And I invite you to make note of that. We do have special cards on our table as well. You don't have to write down the address. You can just grab one of those cards. And invite you to join me online anytime. They're on Sermon Audio to get all of the content that we provide for our ministry here with the Friends of Israel. It's all there, again, freely for you to receive. And it includes the Friends of Israel's weekly radio program. So you can just hear it there as well, or download it, grab it from there each week, or any of the past broadcasts I've been loading since September. You can go much farther back than that on the regular website of the Friends of Israel. But that's all there for you on Sermon Audio. Hope you'll participate in that. I write a weekly column that posts on Sermon Audio. You can also read that most weeks on sharperiron.org. Invite you to follow along with that if you're interested. And I wrote a special blog. I was honored to be on the schedule for the blog for Memorial Day weekend for the Friends of Israel blog. And that article, timely for this patriotic season of the year, is up there. It's also on both of the other web pages I just mentioned. But here's the version on the Friends of Israel website. I invite you to read that. And it goes into some detail about the founding of the Friends of Israel. So if you're not real familiar with the history of the Friends of Israel, you'd like to learn more, that's gives you a basic introduction. I invite you to check that. One thing that we're excited about is the possibility, Lord willing, of going to Israel ourselves next March. Everywhere we go, we often get a couple of questions. First of all, someone will say, when are you moving to Israel? And the answer to that is we are not moving to Israel. We're not raising support to move to Israel. Our service is here in the Midwest of the United States, within North America, serving churches just like we are this morning by teaching and preaching about Israel, especially, and the key themes for which the Friends of Israel is so well known, many of which are on the decline in terms of their popularity, even in our circles of the church world, closer than perhaps we realize or would like to admit. Our purpose is to go out and to emphasize those things and to share concern for the churches and for pastors and for all the people, and to try to be an encouragement and to try to also lead churches just like yours in finding ways to maybe for the very first time consider how to have that meaningful outreach to Jewish people who are all around us. And so that's the work that we will be engaged in, Lord willing, permanently and full time and for the long term with God's help. So we're not moving to Israel. But the other question that people will often come up and maybe rush up excitedly and ask something like, what's your favorite coffee shop in the northern half of Jerusalem, or, you know, something like that. And we have to say, kind of chagrin, you know what, we haven't been to Israel. And so we need to go to Israel. That's certainly clear to us from our experience and also from the Friends of Israel. Friends of Israel normally goes 4 times a year. Again, that's all been canceled since last year in March. But Lord willing, that'll be going again. The plans are, as of now, for the first trip to go forward being the fall trip that's scheduled. And so we're aiming for March of 2022. We'd love to have you go with us. If you're interested in that, please make sure you sign the contact sheet and just put the word Israel next to it. You're not committing to anything or having to pay or anything like that, but you would just begin to get information as it becomes available. There's very little yet. You can go on the website and find some much more basic information, but there's very little yet as far as knowing exactly what's going to happen by next March. Someone said last month during the conflict, you know, oh, we need to cancel plans to go to Israel. And Friends of Israel said, you know, so many things could happen between now and next March with any of these issues that it's way too early to have any kind of an eye on the subject like that. But if you're interested in going, and again, we don't know what may happen, but if you're interested in going, just please make sure you do sign up and write the word Israel by your name. We who've never been there before will not be your only leaders. We'll be fellowshipping with you, but the national leadership of the Friends of Israel will be on the tour and guiding us, and you'll be in good hands. And the Friends of Israel would never take you if there were any known concern for your safety as well. No, be aware of that. So if you're interested, please let us know about that. You can also pray for us. It's a busy time in our lives. Let me say a couple of things. Since we were here last, which was again in the late 2019, we've been all the way through 2020, and as of January 2021, I have been promoted to be in full-time status with the Friends of Israel. Now, we have not yet, this is a support-raising position, and we have not yet raised all of our support, so we ask you to, first of all, please pray for us, most importantly, about that, and stay in contact with us. We'd love to have you be involved in our ministry, and please pray that God would bring those that would support our ministry financially to put us up to the completion of our goals with that, with regard to that. But the Friends of Israel is supporting us right now with the mission of raising that support. And so we have been engaged in this work full time since January. So that's a major change for us, and I've been very busy during that time. And we've had some other things happen during that time. My mother went to be with the Lord right before Christmas, and then Lynette's mother went to be with the Lord right after Easter. So we've lost all of our parents now are in heaven. We shouldn't say that they're lost. We know where they are, but they're not with us. And Lynette's had a very busy year, and she'll be making her fourth trip to Indiana, leaving tomorrow. So pray for her for that. And then 2 weeks from now, I'll be on my fourth trip of the year to Iowa for the Friends of Israel. I'll be going all the way through the whole state of Iowa, practically, to Lincoln, Nebraska. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, I'll have the wonderful opportunity of representing the Friends of Israel and running the exhibit for the Friends of Israel at the IFCA National Convention. And so pray for me there. It should be a wonderful week of fellowship and focus on Bible prophecy there. I will not be speaking, but I guess I've come to a unique point in life where I know all the main speakers, so that's a blessing, and I look forward to that and to seeing many old friends and meeting new ones. I've never been to an IFCA convention before, so I'm really looking forward to that, and do ask your prayers, especially just for the logistics of getting there and doing it safely and all those things. Our prayer card is in the back, again, along with many other items. We invite you to partake of those. As I said, much more new all the time online. We invite you to join with us there. I do want to thank you for our invitation to be with you today at Grace Bible Church. And we also look forward, I'll say this, to being back with you on July 11th. So our message this morning, I'm not sure where we'll get or what we'll pick up with next time, but we do look forward to being back with you then, a week after Independence Day. And we'll be praying for you with regard to the candidate that you're having in. And it sounds like it'll be an exciting day when we're back with you, perhaps. So hopefully we can be an encouragement in the midst of all of that. We do certainly share our condolences on the loss of Pastor Ron, and certainly want to mention our sympathies with regard to that. I got to know him just a little bit and enjoyed being with you, as I mentioned previously, and certainly want to pray with you folks at this time and as you search for a new pastor as well. So all of that being said, we're going to think this morning about the future restoration of Israel. And this is, as I mentioned, in line with the theme that we had the last time that we were together. We are turning back to the book of Romans and the passage that was read to you this morning in Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 11. And as we turn there, we realize we're picking up in the midst of the book of Romans and in the midst of a very intense section that the Apostle Paul writes in chapters 9 through 11, in which he's really answering a question that would naturally come about as someone reads the first eight chapters, which are the greatest climactic teaching in all of Holy Scripture on the doctrine of salvation. Paul describes the condemnation of mankind, our sin, and falling short of the glory of God, and the ramifications of all of that, both personally and corporately and culturally. And then he describes the remedy for the issue of sin, and that is justification. Being declared righteous by God in chapters 4 and 5, having discussed sin in chapters 1 through 3, condemnation in chapters 1 through 3. And then in chapters 6 through 8, he has discussed sanctification, how to live out the salvation that God has provided by grace alone. And someone reading all those chapters, I think Paul is assuming, will ask by the end of chapter 8, the elephant in the room is, what about Israel? If God is providing this salvation for all now, yes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, and he talks about the condemnation of Jewish people and the condemnation of Gentile people, the salvation that is offered to all, but we still have this issue hanging out there of what about Israel as a nation, as a people? What about Israel, the people that have received the heritage that is the basis for all that we're discussing? He talks about these people at the beginning, therefore, of chapter 9, about his burden for the people of Israel because these are, after all, the Israelites, 9 verse 4, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. And in other words, the people who received, first and foremost, the Abrahamic covenant, the promises that God made to Abraham, they've received the covenants and the promises. They uniquely have received these things. The salvation that God promised to Abraham, first of all, and made a covenant regarding that salvation with Abraham, that is the only salvation God ever promised. That is the only salvation God ever provided. That is the salvation that relates to Christ who came in the flesh. He is the Christ, the Messiah of Israel. As he told the woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. As he said in the Gospel of Matthew, I have not come except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is the only salvation God ever promised. So we read the book of Romans and we come to the end of chapter 8 and we're reading about this wonderful salvation and how we can receive it by the grace of God, and then we can receive it because God in his overabundant grace made provision at the end of that covenant. I hope you're all thankful for this, that God made provision at the end of that covenant that in Abraham and in the seed of Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That's the only reason we can be here today. He didn't give us the covenants. He didn't give us the promises. But his grace spills over from the Jewish people and reaches the entire world. The utterly amazing grace of God that makes it possible to provide salvation to the entire world. All the nations of the earth can be blessed. That's really Galatians 3, which is a divine commentary, an inspired commentary on the Abrahamic covenant. And yet, we're left with this question then. What about Israel? What about Israel as a nation, as a people? If they are the ones to whom these things pertain, and they receive them, what will happen to Israel? So Paul answers that question in Romans 9 through 11. And we're picking it up here near the end of that section as Paul summarizes in Romans 11, and he says, speaking about Israel, he says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Is there stumble into unbelief permanent? Are they permanently separated from God? In other words, is God finished with the people of Israel? Now, if you were to ask that question of all of professing Christians, and I'm speaking in the broadest cultural sense, if you will, including the Roman Catholic Church through all of its history, including the Eastern Orthodox branch of Christianity through all of its history, including all of Protestantism. If you were to ask that question, is God finished with Israel? If you were to ask that question of all of those people, if you were to stretch them this way across the globe today, and you were to ask that question today, the overwhelming, resounding response you would receive is, of course, yes, God is finished with Israel. There is no future for ethnic Israel, as we would define ethnic Israel, as the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. If you would take those people and you would stretch them this way across church history, and you would ask the same question to all of those people of Christendom all across history, and you would ask, is God finished with Israel? the overwhelming, resounding response you would receive is, of course, yes, God is finished with Israel. There is no future for Israel. Now let me go ahead and correct the record quickly and say the reason the Friends of Israel has existed since 1938 is to say unequivocally, how many believe this? God still has a future for Israel. That is why we are here. That is why we exist as a ministry. Someone has said, if we ever change our doctrine as the Friends of Israel, just nail the door shut, because this is the whole reason we exist and have since those early days of the Holocaust. Because God still has a future for Israel. He will fulfill every promise he has ever made, every prophecy he has ever given to the people of Israel. God still has a future for Israel. He has guided them. He has been with them through their biblical past, though they are still today spiritually in dispersion away from God, yet he's bringing them back to the land. He's guiding the nation. He's overseeing the nation in their strategic present. And he will one day bring them back completely and fully in belief, in faith, in their prophetic future. God still has a purpose for Israel. And the Apostle Paul gives that answer in this chapter. He contradicts all of these quote-unquote Christian peoples across the world today and throughout the ages of the history of the church. And he says, absolutely, yes, God has a future for Israel. They say no, but Paul says yes. Now, in today's world, we understand, and Paul makes a distinction in 1 Corinthians 10, that there are three groups of people in the world: Jews, Gentiles, and the church. The Jewish people, all the Gentile people, and the church. You know, these are the only distinctions that matter in the world today. If we understood this as a culture, it would save all so much of the heartache and the headache that we're going through today with all kinds of things. And if we would only preach these things in the church, it would save all kinds of problems that the larger, broader church is having with the same, very same issues that the culture is having. There are only three people groups. You say, well, that's not true of me. I'm a very proud fill-in-the-blank, German, Irishman, Frenchman, whatever it is. You know, I'm sorry to tell you, but that has no biblical significance whatsoever. It makes absolutely no difference at all. Especially if, here's the big one, if you're in which category up here? In the church. In fact, let me blow your mind. If you're in that church category, it doesn't even matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't make any difference at all. No difference whatsoever. Because to be in the church, to use an old English term that I'm sure is politically incorrect today, if you're a churchman, if you're a church person, that means you're in the church, the true church, not the local church, although you should be, and thank God you are this morning, but you're in the true, universal, invisible church. You're a member of Christ's body. You're part of the body of Christ. You are in Christ. And that's all that matters. I mean, nothing else matters at all outside of that. That's your identity if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today. You are in Christ. You say, well, then why does anything else matter at all? Well, because if you're outside of Christ, there is one distinction. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference whether you're from Argentina or China or, you know, Scotland. Those things don't matter. Your skin color, your hair color, none of those things matter. The only difference that does matter in the mind of God is there is a division about the Jewish people and the Gentile people. Now, why is that? Well, it goes back to the fact we're discussing that God has a future for Israel. By the way, he also has a future for the Gentile people in terms of the prophetic future and the details that he has described that will unfold in his word with regard to what's going to happen in the world. That's the only difference. And God still has a future for Israel. And he's going to bring the Jewish people, as we'll see, as we get to the end of this message, which may be on July 11th, he's going to bring Israel back completely in faith, in belief, and fulfill all those promises that he's made to them. That's the only thing that matters. Let me pause here and say this. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, and I hope that all of you are, and that may be the case this morning, but if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you can become one immediately by trusting that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, became also man. He came to be the Messiah of Israel. He came to this world, died on the cross in your place for your sin and for me, died on the cross, completed the payment that you could never pay for the debt of your sin, so that you could have the forgiveness of sin and eternal life in heaven with him forever. If you believe that in dying he paid that debt, he was buried and he rose again, opening the way to eternal life, and you can have that forgiveness, you can be with him forever if you trust in Christ alone, and you are saved, therefore, on the basis of your faith alone, by the grace of God alone. And you can be in Christ today. Don't wait for the end of the service. Trust in him now. Believe on him today. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, your only real need, ultimately, is to trust in him. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you're part of his body, the church. And then Paul has some admonition for us, beginning here as we go through the rest of this passage. We're going to display some of these verses on the screen, and as I read from the New King James, some of them will be in the ESV to give us further light sometimes on the meaning of the verses. But Paul says, again, have they stumbled that they should fall? And here's his answer. Certainly not. I mean, it's very strong in the original language. May it never be. This is not true, he's saying. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, salvation has always been available on the basis of faith alone. In the Old Testament, there were different applications of how a Gentile would understand that faith than has occurred since Christ came. And also in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel really failed in the mission God gave them to be a light to the Gentiles. So there just wasn't at many times a lot of interaction in that way with Gentiles. There are a few glaring exceptions to that, like Ruth, the Moabitess, and many others that are mentioned that come to faith and come to join with the people of Israel in their belief in the one true God of Israel. But since Christ has come, and since the Jewish people have rejected as a nation their Messiah and have been dispersed again until they've been regathered to Israel in the last century, they've been dispersed physically because of their rejection spiritually. And God has especially during that time been bringing a people from the Gentiles to be his people and bringing them into the church. Salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, another question we get sometimes, are you Jewish? You don't have to be Jewish to work for the Friends of Israel. We are not Jewish. Maybe if I took one of those tests that everybody's taking, I would find out I have some Jewish background. Probably almost everyone in the world has some, I don't know. But no, we don't consider ourselves Jewish or know that we are. I don't know if we have any Jewish people with us today. We're maybe all Gentiles. And that has been the case through much of the history of the church, to the point that, you know, so often we've almost forgotten all about the Jewish people. But when Paul is writing this in the first century, there are still many Jewish people, and all of this is in the church, and this is all fresh on their minds. And so he's discussing how salvation has come to the Gentiles. And we're certainly thankful that it has in terms of our experience, aren't we? And he said, but now what are we going to do with this? He says, if their fall is riches for the world, if the fall of the Jewish people, the fall from faith, if you will, is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? If the unbelief of the people of Israel has led to the blessings you've received, just think of how much greater blessing you'll receive when they return in faith. That's what he's saying. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. Paul had the best of both worlds. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was trained to the ultimate extent of the Jewish faith and culture. He understood all of that. He had achieved all of that. But then God, after saving him in a dramatic fashion, God made Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. And he got to learn all about Gentiles and spend time with them and take the gospel to them and craft a message they could understand and relate to. And he says, I magnify my ministry. He made the most of that opportunity, and he relished the ability that God gave him to do that specific work. And I would say, pray for us likewise, that we would fulfill this ministry that God has given us. I love that verse where he says, I magnify my ministry, or the old King James says, I magnify my office. But now, why is he doing this? Verse 14, which is on the screen, says, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. In other words, I want to minister to the Gentiles, Paul is saying, in such a way that it will stir up the curiosity, the interest of the Jewish people and lead back to their salvation. Now, that's a lot of what we do at the Friends of Israel. That's really what we're doing here this morning. I'm sure there are Jewish people in Oconomowoc. I didn't look it up specifically. I'm sure some of you know of some, or of not just some individuals, I'm saying, but of perhaps groups or official segments of the Jewish population that are known here, or various institutions that are set up around here. We hear about that everywhere we go. And it's sort of like if some of those Jewish people, some of those Jewish friends came to understand what were happening here right now at Grace Bible Church, and it would certainly pique their interest, and they'd have almost a right to say, hey, what are you talking about over there? What is all of this about Israel? What is this about the Jewish people? What is this about Abraham and our covenants, our promises? And Paul says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to touch that nerve with the Jewish people in interacting with them and pique their interest to the point. And he says, I'm hoping that we can save some of them. Not that we are doing the saving, of course, but to save some of them by faith in Christ as we provoke them to jealousy. I may have mentioned this the last time I was here, but the sad reality of the fact of the matter is that throughout the history of the church, we as a church, and I'm speaking in the, again, the very broad sense, we have far too often and far too long provoked, we haven't provoked the Jewish people to jealousy for the sake of the gospel. Someone said, we've just what? We've just provoked them. And that's not what Paul is saying, by any means. And that is a sad, sad part of the history of the church and a reality that we need to face and deal with. By the way, there's some excellent new books about that. Dr. Pettigrew, who will be speaking at the IFCA, oversaw a new book that's called, I believe, Forgetting Israel, talking about the history of the church relating to Israel and how we need to come back to understanding that God still has a future for Israel. There's some wonderful, other wonderful new books in that realm of thinking as well. Well, our time is almost gone for this morning. I believe we will pick up this message and finish next time, if that's acceptable. But let's just find a good spot to end on this morning here. And Paul is going to tell us, we'll end there with the slides, but Paul is going to reiterate here in verse 15, if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Again, the same type of idea. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. Now, he's going to get into this very interesting illustration. Still debated to this day on some points of this fascinating image that Paul uses of the root and the tree and the branches. And the issue of some branches being broken off and others being grafted in. So we'll pick up here next time with thinking about, but what is the root? Let me say this. I believe that the root is the Abrahamic covenant that we had on the screen. In fact, I'll put it back there as we finish. The root is the Abrahamic covenant. That's the root of all of the salvation that God provides. The tree is not Israel, but it's the blessing of God, the salvation program of God, we might say, that springs from the Abrahamic covenant, which includes blessing for all the world. The tree is this tree of salvation blessing, and the branches can be Israelite branches or Gentile branches, as we'll see. The Israelite branches have been, the unbelieving Israelite branches have been broken off. And we have been grafted in, but Paul gives a warning with that. And Paul read it in his, we have three Pauls here today. Paul the reader read Paul the writer here when he said, you can be cut off, verse 22. Now, is Paul saying you can lose your salvation? He's not saying that. He's talking in broad terms. Because notice at the end of verse 25, he says there will be a day when the fullness of the Gentiles will have come in. The last Gentile will have been added. In other words, there's a warning. There's sort of an implicit warning there. The day of grace for the Gentiles will end too. I trust that you have received the grace of God in this day of grace as it's been offered. And if not, that you'll receive it now. And I hope that this study that we share together will cause us all to think further, to think maybe more deeply than we've ever thought about what are we doing to then also be a blessing to the people of Israel. What are we doing to aid them, to comfort them, to befriend them? And then hopefully all of those things can become a means to also share with them the message of their Messiah who has come, who offers them salvation, who offers them the grace of God that they were promised all along. And we'll pick up there next time. We'll think about the rest of this passage, Lord willing. And we'll remind ourselves of this truth that we must not forget, in this day of compromise and sadly, even apostasy all around us, that God still has a future for Israel. And we'll think about that much further. Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for the time to be together. Lord, I pray for these people here of Grace Bible Church. I pray that you will help them to find their next pastor. Give them special wisdom as they're dealing with that, even in these weeks. Lord, I pray that you will comfort them as they continue to grieve the loss of Pastor Ron. But we thank you, Lord, that he is with you. We thank you, Lord, that the church can go on, go forward, go together to serve you. And we pray, Lord, that that will be the testimony of Grace Bible Church and that it will become known. And that, Lord, others may hear as well as a result. Help us, Lord, to strive, to desire, and to become a blessing to the people of Israel, to those that you have blessed, and of those of whom you have said that you will bless those who bless the Jewish people. And so we pray in the name of the Messiah who has come. In Jesus' name, amen.